today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I thought that set in stone sounded familiar. Greetings to all, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. We're a music podcast that takes place every weekday. Thank you for listening. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to the second day of our conversation, taking us through track by track on the Total Strangers' fantabulous new album, Watching the Sun Go Out. We're lucky enough to have Mike Wagner and James EPJ Petrillo with us to discuss the fine work that they did. And we're going to get back into that in just 1 minute. But before we do, I want to remind everybody that it is now June. That's right. Happy June to all. We will be starting our May new music series on June 17th. So that means we'd love to have you get in your selections for new music from May 2024 by the 16th of June. If you can, that's Father's Day, so you don't want to wait that long. You want to get it in before then. Thanks to those who've already sent in their selections. That's very much appreciated, but just wanted to give you a heads up on the deadline for that one. So feel free to send us an email at rock@suburbspod.com. And you can also call up our suburban party line, 612-440-1984. All right, with that out of the way, a little bit of business. We are going to return to our conversation about the Total Strangers, and we're going to jump right into this here. I'm going to be asking Mike and EPJ about the song Shine, the third song on their new record, Watching the Sun Go Out. So let's take it away. Now, let's move on to the third song on the record, Shine. There are a lot of great guitar hooks on this record, without a doubt. You mentioned it, and there totally are, but this one is like one of my favorites because it's like the chunkiest, you know, it's the most like Jimmy Page, at least to my ears.
I'm not the one you think of when it's time to please. I'm not the one you keep in mind. I'm not the one who says you air you need to breathe. I'm not the one you try to blind. Shining rays cast a shade and parade the ones that have to hide. Shining rays cast a shade and parade the margins to the side. I say what thieves believe, you hold another key. You get a different set of eyes. I break the silence, you pick the piece you need. And give witness to the sky. Called up, seen and buried leads. Leave unseen and better left in life.
Between the lines. Actually, I do remember when I kind of wrote this one, because I bought a, many years ago, I bought a Fender Telecaster so I could leave it in G tune so it'd be like the Stones.
Yep.
And I remember coming home, I was slightly buzzed one day, and I just picked it up, capo 3, G tuned, and I found that opening riff, which I thought was really good. I mean, I did like that riff. I mean, I kind of, it's weird, like, the second it came out, I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, I was like, oh, I remembered that one, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
So, yeah.
But yeah.
I just want to say here, the listeners can't see this, so I'm gonna be your eyes, listeners, right? So I'm watching the Zoom, and of course, you know, whenever we record on Zoom, I see Patrick's wall of records behind him, right? But now I also see Mike Wagner's wall of guitars back there, yes. and I know Mike, you know, you're not a you're a great music listener, but you're not a big music collector, physical media, but you like to amass musical instruments, which is another great, you know, pursuit. And to the extent that you will buy a guitar just to keep it in a certain tuning. That's what I'm getting to here.
You say that like it's okay. A bad thing.
No.
Doesn't everybody?
And don't let my wife hear that.
No.
But I do.
I think that's great.
I bought that guitar.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and to the point is like you either choose to buy music instruments or physical product. It's like I can't afford
both.
I mean it's like it's one or the
I think
other,
you guys so. Complete each other, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Okay. And then behind EPJ is the wall of posters.
That's right.
And artwork. Yeah. Music related as well. So that's very cool. All right.
I just heard this discussion about a making of another album, and it's kind of like food or good cooking. It's the ingredients. It's like the instruments are important, and he's got a wall where he just picks a guitar and that's the sound. Like there's a song towards the end of the album, Margins, where it's just a guitar break. Like, it's like you said, it's like, is that Jimmy Page? Like, no, it's just that guitar setting in his brain. Like Mike is so attuned to just like this riff. He gets so excited about this guitar, this riff. So it's like, yeah,
that's
he knows how to add the perfect ingredient to each song.
The bit that I love about Shine is the outro where EPJ and Justice are like going back and forth. So good. Oh, and just a quick shout out to Hans and Brittany, who did some extra harmonies on there, and Mike Snyder did as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So but the outro where EPJ and Justice are going back and forth, that is just like so cool. I mean, I love that, and it's but yeah, that's one of my favorite
parts. Well, as a fan of the Hootenanny, if you were at any of the Hootenannies, I would think Justice was the biggest like performer. So to have her on the album is amazing. But actually to trade like back and forth little bits, and then to have Mike Snyder and then Hans and Brittany all on the track, it's the biggest like. And it's like you said, Patrick, it's the one that jumped out to me first. Like, oh, this would be fun. To make this into an actual album, so Shine was I think first in my brain.
It was one of the first things we actually did, I think.
Okay.
Really. Okay, so I think the most important thing to say about Set in Stone is how many people have asked me, "Is that the Book Nook theme song?"
Oh, really?
And the answer is yes.
I suspected as much.
I could never turn the key of a lock set safely. I could never turn the light on at night. I would rather have the doctor provide me safety. I would rather have a way to the night. Assigned a station, and they better know their place in the line. Statues in the hall stand for all that I have abdicated. Allocate the code words to go. Monuments and malls only serve the cause when relevant.
signs for those to expire. Deaden in the eyes and politely stating, we're gonna disagree with a smile. Orphaned by a shove to be cast above with gaslit saviors, leave me underneath to be told. Chiseled in a form that is unadorned from obligation, better to be wrong than below. It's set in stone.
But this one's got an actual good singer on it.
No, I sing along to that, Patrick. And over there, more books. And what's this? A Kindle? I love that song, dude. It's, I love that version. So.
I remember sending that to you. You sent me a text. You're like, hey, I need a big favor. I need a song. And I'm like, I kind of want something chimey. And I'm like, here you go. Like, and then you made it into like this great thing. But so for that one, actually, obviously, I had that one for a while.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I had the idea for the song Set in Stone for a long time. So, like I said, so I had them all like sort of demoed as much as I had. And so, what EPJ heard first was that guitar riff, the one that starts on the book, the theme song. And then there's obviously more, but. It was just me kind of doing da, 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 da. I mean, like, if I didn't have lyrics, I would just kind of like, you know, block them in. You've probably done that, right? When you're writing something, you just like, blah, 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 you know. And that's what he would hear. And then we would work. I mean, we would have discussions about what we wanted to be about and like, who are you when you're singing this one and that sort of thing. And like sort of, and it would build from there. So like for Set in Stone, I just had the idea of Set in Stone. And if somebody, no matter how much information you give them or how much you sort of like reasonable and like here's how things really are and here's the facts and here's the documentation, they will not take it. They just that's where the idea of Set in Stone came. I had that idea and then I just fleshed out the lyrics as we went along. And then, you know, there's some lines in there that I think we both really like. The line about I can never look my life in the eye and stuff.
I can never look my life in the eye. There's certain lines that stick out. Like, I just wanted to take this opportunity to say, I just think Mike's lyrics are really unique because it's kind of ruined some even of my favorite songs because it's like, oh, this song's just about love. Like, Mike's songs aren't pedantic and aren't obvious. Like, I think our whole community likes songs that are about something like Jason Isbell. But I mean, you know, anybody knows the storyline. It's very narrative. And you're like, okay, his friend is a heroin addict and he's going to visit him in rehab. Like, none of Mike's songs present that way. Like I said, they present the music, the hooks, and the, what are these words? This song has a lot of words. I like them. And then certain lines start to dribble out. That's what I like. It kind of creeps up on you. It doesn't hit you over the head with any of the ideas. You can just take it as a rock album. And might not know for 10 years, like, you know, that song, you know, that song means that to me, or this album, you know. So I love how it kind of creeps into your subconscious. So I just, I love that he worked on it. You worked on the lyrics a long time. So I just wanted to give you a shout out for those.
I like that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because I think any writer who knows, it takes a, and EPJ and I talked about this a lot. It takes a long time to write a short essay.
Yes.
Right. I didn't have time to write a short essay. Right. I mean, Jim knows exactly what I mean as an editor, right? I mean, it's, you can like start just keep going and going and going. And it's easy to add, it's hard to edit, right? I mean, and I've always thought of like some of my favorite writers are obviously Paul Westerberg, who's, you know, I just did an episode on Tim, you know, and we were, you know, like how he can like, that thing he can do where he can like, generate this amazing picture with just a few words.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it. I call it like sort of a reverse big bang, right? I mean, it's like you take everything and you just windle it down to like this like one little nugget. You know, and Pete Townsend is the same way. Pete Townsend was freaking great at it, right? You know, Hope I Die Before I Get Old being the... That says so much with this little bit of thing. And then it's like almost different for everybody too, right? What does it... I mean, I'm not saying I did it. I'm just saying I tried. If it worked, great.
I think that was the
inspiration. Let me put it that way.
No, I like those two influences you cite. Was Michael Stipe maybe also an influence on you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. What I love about Michael Stipe is how he paints these images, and they're even more esoteric than either of those two writers.
Right.
I love, and actually a huge, huge, huge influence over a lot of the lyrics was late 80s REM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which are very like sort of document and Life's First Pageant in particular. A little bit of Green, but he became a little more, for lack of a better term, in focus in Green. I don't have that ability that Michael Stipe does, or he doesn't do that. He didn't do that way in later REM. He evolved. It became a bit more in focus. But like his sort of like...
He could say, "Don't fall on me" in like 10 different ways. And you can get a lot of...
Yeah.
Like, what is he saying
like
there?
That, yeah. Like the line, building tower foresight doesn't mean anything at all, right? It means whatever that line goes, you know, from fall on me. It's just like brilliant.
It means, what is the line? It means nothing. It means nothing and everything.
It wasn't much, and everything.
Sorry.
right. I mean, it's just, I love Michael Stipe lyrics of that era. Because they even better, John Lennon had that thing too, like Strawberry Fields, you know, it was one of my favorites. But that's kind of, those were the big inspirations for how I write lyrics.
Ah, very interesting look into the lyric writing mind of Mike Wagner right there, talking about some of his influences. So really cool. Thank you guys very, very much for coming on to take the time. Thanks, Jim, and everybody who participated in making this wonderful Total Strangers album. And tomorrow we'll be getting into more from the Total Strangers album. So make sure to come back then and listen. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
And over there, more books. And what's this? A Kindle?